John chapter 1, verse 35 to 51. You see there it's part 1. So that means there is a part 2. But there is no mystery. It's just because there we're going to see the characteristics of the disciples of Jesus. And there are 6 characteristics. So I divided into sermon. Otherwise it would be too much. John chapter 1, verse 35. And we're going to read all the way down to 51. But just before we read, timeline, baptism, followed by temptation, followed by what we are at right now, the calling of the disciples, the first disciples. Okay? So, let us pray. Lord, we ask you grace as we're going to dive into your word. And we pray that your word dives into our hearts. We want to be transformed by your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The next day, John was there again with 2 of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the 2 who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." Then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus' first disciples. We see 6 characteristics. Today we're going to see only 3, and we're going straight there. What's the very first characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ? Confessing Jesus. Who has confessed Jesus as the Lord here? Who has made their profession of faith? Who, when I ask, "What is the hope of your life?" is going to answer Jesus. So do we agree that disciples of Jesus Christ confess Jesus Christ? Do we agree? Pay attention to the verses on the screen. Verse 36, verse 41, verse 49. Verse 36 first. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The good confession. Verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." Another good confession. And verse 46, No, verse 49, it says what? Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Three different confessions, three same confessions. Basically what they're saying, they're confessing Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the King. From a Reformed background, the kids are baptized when they are young, and when they are old, what they are called to do in front of the church? Profession of faith. Me, I wasn't baptized when I was young, but I did my confession of faith in my room. My spiritual life, I was born again, I became a Christian when I confessed Jesus. When I knelt down and I say, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I repent. Lord, I need you. That's where my journey starts. So confessing Jesus Christ, it is the very fundamental, the first step. It is the welcoming door of Christianity. And if you pay attention, we read a confession about Jesus in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the text. So this, it is what fills and makes all of us in this common denominator. But you need to agree with me that confessing Jesus Christ with your mouth doesn't necessarily mean you confess Jesus Christ with your heart. Some people confess Jesus Christ with their mouth, but they deny Jesus Christ with their actions, with their hands. And that's why we read what we read. Why are good deeds important? Because our good deeds are confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord, just as our confession of faith came first with our mouth. So I have two verses that I want to share with you that backs up this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And another verse I have, it's James chapter 1, verse 22. This is not the mouth, this is the ears now, but pay attention. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, what I am trying to say, what the Bible is trying to say, is that those who have the right confession in their lips are not what Jesus Christ is looking for. Those who have the right confession of faith in their hearts, it's what Jesus Christ is looking for. Illustration. I went for a G test a few years ago. And I passed because I'm a good driver. And I never went through the speed limit because I passed. And I signal every turn I gave because I did pass. And I check my blind spot more than I should. I had to go massage after. And I pass. Now ask Gustavo, do you check your blind spot now? No. Do you full stop in the four stop? Or you just slow down and if everything clear, you keep going? Yeah, I know you guys also drive like me. Don't worry. What am I trying to say? Christianity is not one event and you get your driver's license and that's it. That's only man-made thing, driving stuff. Christianity, you need to pass every day. You know, it's not you go there, do once your profession of faith, and you forget about it. No, the profession of faith that it starts my life is the profession of faith that I carry the rest of my life. Beginning of the text, middle of the text, end of our text. What I say with my mouth, I say also when my mouth is shut. When I say with my mouth, I say also with my hands. What I say with my mouth in front of the congregation by professing my faith, I must say also at home when I'm dealing with my family. Amen? So this is the first characteristic of a disciple of Jesus Christ. They have the good profession. It always starts with a profession of faith. And from profession, we go to the second characteristic. Spending time with Jesus. Can you say amen to this one? We love the Lord. We love to spend time with Him. Verse 37 to verse 39. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. From confession to intimacy. From confession to relationship. If I ask you what is salvation, what is the gospel, what is Christianity, there is one kind of answer that is this one. Salvation means I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. Salvation means I am free, I have escaped from torment. Salvation means I have changed my address. Is that true? Are we happy that we are not going to spend eternity in hell? I'm happy. Is that true? It is true. But that's not the answer we are looking for. The answer we are looking for, there is everything to do with the second characteristic. Salvation is not about where am I going to spend eternity with. Salvation is about who I'm going to spend eternity with. Do you see the difference? What is nice about heaven? Jesus is there. What is terrible about hell? Jesus' present glory is not there. Now, forget eternity. Think about today. If that's the answer for salvation, if that's the answer for Christianity, spending time with the who, Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be doing this today. If I am eagerly looking for eternity because I'm going to spend time with Jesus, why not today? And this becomes actually a good thermostat. It's what sets the temperature, correct? What's the other one? Thermometer. Thank you. That's a very good thermometer of our Christianity, because that's what tells us if we are truly disciples of Jesus, if we truly understood salvation. I want to be with Jesus eternally. Gustavo, do you? Yes, I do. Are you spending time with Jesus right now? No, I don't. So the thermometer, something is off. Do you get what I'm saying? So our prayer life, our devotional life, our church attendance, our eagerness, the time we give to God, the time we intentionally look for Him, it is a good thermometer of our spirituality. Illustration. My family was here for January, and we had a lot of things to do. CN Tower, Niagara Falls, go to the hills and sledding. I'm still young to do those. But we didn't do nothing of this. There is a side note reason. We are broke, so we didn't want to go see any tower and fancy things. Save money, live better. Walmart. But the main reason we didn't go, it's not for the sake of money. We get home and all we want to do is what? Spend time. To talk. To laugh. To eat good food. Because that's what family is. Now, we made a good confession. Jesus is the Lord. Now, we are saved. And what does it mean? Say, salvation, you're God's family. You are called a son of God. And what does a family want to do? Spend time. How do we spend time with Jesus? Bible, prayer, and church. Consistently, every day, and it is must be enjoyable. It is, wow, now it's time that I'm going to read the Bible. Wow, now it's time I'm coming to the church. Wow, now it's time I'm going to pray. Not a burden. Not, I wish I didn't need to do this. Not a Sunday thing. Can I hear amen? Good. Did we understand? Good. Okay. Spending time with Jesus. You see the disciples. They chase Jesus. They follow Jesus. They spend time with Jesus. Third thing. First, we start with the confession. Second, we spend time with Jesus so our hearts become filled with Jesus. And what is the consequence? The third point, the third characteristic, we share Jesus Christ. Pay attention to verse 35 and 36. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Hey, you, look, the Lamb of God. And what does the disciples do? They follow Jesus. He shares Jesus. Next verse is verse 40 and verse 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did, repeat with me, the first thing. Not the second thing, not the last thing, not maybe thing, not if I have an opportunity thing. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." Verse 42, just the beginning. Then he brought Simon to Jesus. And verse 45, another one. Philip now. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see here that there are three kinds of people. The disciples, John's disciples, the family, Andrew and Simon, and there is also the theologians. You see that this Nathanael, he's a very wise man. Jesus calls him an Israelite in whom there is nothing false. So Philip needs to approach him with theology. Hey, we have found Jesus. Who is Jesus? The one Moses and the prophets wrote about, the one that the Bible testifies. I know you're a theologian, Nathanael, and if you dive in scriptures, you're going to see that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. In all the aspects, there is someone sharing Jesus. In all the contexts, there is someone sharing Jesus. If you go to UFT University, we are called to share Jesus there. If we go home, and I know sometimes Thanksgiving table, we don't want to bring harsh conversations, but our families also, we are called to share Jesus. Our co-workers, to share Jesus. Students, to share Jesus. No matter the situation here, share Jesus Christ. Now I have an illustration here. Because sometimes, by trying to share Jesus, we may not do the best job. We were the other day looking at Sunday school, and the guy said, I am willing to get to know Jesus, but every time I am approached, I feel a lot of pressure, and I feel that the person wants to shovel Jesus to my throat, and I feel that they are selling Jesus just like they sell anything. So I don't want it. So we need to do a good job when we are sharing the Lord Jesus. And I have an illustration here for us. There is two kinds of sellers in history. You find them whatever you need to buy. The good one and the bad one. Who is the bad one? The one who just wants to know that he's taking money out of your pocket. He just won the transaction. Before he talks about the product, his e-transfer is already here in the chest. Just a side note, for everybody who's asking about something, I usually give my e-transfer to people. Just in case they want to, you know, give me a donation. Who knows, they know my email. Anyways, jokes aside, that's the bad seller. He wants, you are with him and you know he's trying to take money out of you. But we are not the bad sellers, we are the good sellers. And who is the good seller? The person who believes in the product, they know the product, and this is important, they use the product. And because they believe, they know, and they use the product, they are trying to sell it to you. But when they sell it to you, they are not approaching this as a transaction. They're not approaching this as what it matters. It is that at the end, I'm going to have money in my pocket. They approach it as an opportunity given to you, the consumer. I am giving you the opportunity to buy this product. This product, I know, I believe, I use. I know its benefits. I know it is worth to have it. I know the value, it's fair for what it brings and adds to your life. In other words, I'm loving you by giving you the opportunity of having this product. I'm loving you. I could have kept only with me. I could have hidden it from you. But I'm not. Do you see the difference? If I come to you and I say I have a good house to sell you for a good price, would you like me to tell you or not? Of course. You know? So, that's what a good seller it is. Let us apply this to Jesus now. Because Jesus is obviously not a product. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Good. And we are not selling Jesus because the last guy who did sell Jesus, things didn't go well for him. Judas. We are not selling Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. But the principle is the same. We believe in Jesus, we know Jesus, and Jesus has added value to our lives, has transformed our lives. Therefore, what do we want to do? Share him. Does that make sense? We are so filled with Jesus Christ because we confess him and we spend time with him, automatically we want to share Jesus Christ. I have another scriptures. I think I didn't give you another one. Matthew 12, verse 34. I can read for you from here. Yes, I didn't give. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Matthew 12, verse 34. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more we spend time around the things inside the church, talking about him, seeing the world, the way he sees the world, the more we're going to share Jesus Christ. So I bring this sermon to the conclusion. Very short sermon, because you're talking about things we all know. We all do. But I bring this sermon to the conclusion, calling your attention to this. In such a short period of time, this is a one day, few hours conversation, interaction with Jesus. There is not great sermon, the Sermon of the Mountain, parables, Jesus walking on the water, no miracle, no cross, no resurrection. And in such a short period of time, the disciples were affected in that way. Jesus brought from their hearts the right confession, the right mindset by spending time with Jesus, and the sharing of Jesus. And now, as we approach communion, this is my final remarks. It is a good time for a thermometer in our spiritual lives. Confessing. Maybe that's where we need to check. How is our confession of faith? And I'm not talking about Jesus is the Lord. Not talking about Jesus is the Son of God, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But there are, in our evangelical circles, there are the ones who say that Jesus Christ is the Lord, but says that the book where we find out that Jesus Christ is the Lord, it's a little bit old. It's a little bit outdated. Do you know? Do you know this? And that's not the right confession. Genesis, I'm not too sure. This, I'm not too sure. I have some objections. I don't agree. But now it's a good time to check up our confession. Let us be very reasonable here. If from the Bible, it brings the confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we hold on to that confession, how come we're going to argue with the other things the Bible say? We need to come with the right confession in all the aspects of the Bible. We believe in the Bible. We believe in its truth. We believe in its not failability, not mistakes. It is perfect. It is complete. It is everything we need. Let us check out our confession. Or maybe your confession is good, my confession is good, but we are missing on spending time with Jesus. It is a Sunday event. It is just like the Super Bowl or like the World Cup. I'll spend time with Jesus in 4 years. Or in the Super Bowl. Or only on Sundays. Or we think as spirituality just like we do with the contractor. I don't know how to do the flooring, so I buy and ask someone else to do the job for me, and that's it. But no, spirituality is very personal. And it's not a once per week event, not only an Easter or Christmas event. It is a daily thing. Or maybe it is sharing of the gospel. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I have to ask myself a very hard question. Gustavo, when was the last time you shared the gospel to a non-believer? And depends on the answer, the thermometer is saying that we are not doing well as we should. So today, as we approach the table of the Lord, let us check up. Let us do this self-examination. It is basic Christianity. Nothing new, nothing too deep, but that it's important for us to come, examine, and to live a life worthy of the gospel. Amen. Amen.